We're starting at the top of Kuf Tet Zayin with Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai overcoming the Tzedukim. And the issue raised with the Gemara is that you're not allowed to, no matter what the situation or circumstance, one is not allowed to be Gozer L'Sha'ah, that a Bat HaBen will inherit on equal footing with a Bat, right, with a daughter. And that's because the Chazal believe, based on the Drashot HaTorah, that Bat HaBen has precedence. Bat HaBen steps into, the granddaughter steps into the shoes of the son, and therefore she is a priority in terms of inheritance, versus the Bat, who only has rights to the inheritance if there is no Ben. There's no Ben, and there's no Yotzei Yirechol Shel Ben. So the Gemara says, even for a temporary time period, you cannot have a takona that allows for that type of inheritance. Now, why is that relevant? Because there was a time period where they actually did do such a thing. That's what we're going to start with in Kuf Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. Vayomru Yerushat Pleita LeBinyamin V'lo Yimachir Shevet MiYisrael. So this is the story of Pilegesh BeGiva. In the story of Pilegesh BeGiva, all the females were wiped out, and there were only 600 men left from Shevet Binyamin. So they had a problem. Bnei Yisrael decided at that point, what are we going to do? We can't have a Shevet wiped out from Klal Yisrael. So what are you going to do? So they brought 400 of the men, they brought women from Yavesh Gilad, after they killed out the city of Yavesh Gilad, who did not come to battle with them. And then the other 200 men took wives from Shiloh, in the famous story. They went out to the Mecholot and they grabbed the women. But then there was a separate issue, or a bigger issue now, which is that you have 600 men that are dividing up the entire Shevet Binyamin, the entire Yerusha of Shevet Binyamin. So now between 600 men, they have large tracts of property. If any of those individuals has a daughter, right, or has a granddaughter, then that Nachla will move from Shevet to Shevet, and will be a significant portion, it will be 1/600th, but it will be a significant portion of Shevet Binyamin. So what do they do? So that's what the Shvatim are discussing. How are we going to have a leftover Yerusha for Binyamin? Won't be wiped out. At that time, they established four Shevet Binyamin. That, for instance, if there were three brothers that were born, one of the brothers passed away but left a daughter. So, according to Allah, according to the Torah, that daughter would inherit on equal footing with the other two brothers. So they made a temporary gzerah or takana that would not happen. Because in that case, 1/3 of the property would move from this shevet to another shevet. She married into another shevet. So that's the takana. Now obviously this is before the time of Tzedukim, so it's not subject to this statement of Chazal that you're not allowed to do it, but we see that there were times or temporary times where they needed the Sha'ah to do such a thing. Now, how did the Takana work? The Yerushbam claims it's Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. I mean, that Beis Din has a right to be Mefkia property from its rightful owner, and that's what they do over here. Even though the granddaughter is the rightful owner, nevertheless, they're Mefkia, the granddaughter. But that all depends on the circumstances. If, for instance, what happens? I'm reading the Rashbam here, it's towards the end of the narrow lines in the Rashbam. Aval im lo yiniach banim, ela banot. What happens if this individual only left daughters? So now you're talking about a different situation. You're dealing with daughters. And then one of the daughters passes away who had the daughter, meaning a granddaughter. So now there's a granddaughter plus the other daughters or the sisters that are still around. What are you going to do in that case? Eliminating the granddaughter from the inheritance does not help at this point in time. Why not? Because there are all the other sisters who are also going to have the same problem. So then, gam bat abat tirashimahem. Right, there's no benefit in locking out the granddaughter. The only time we're going to lock out the granddaughter is where there's a benefit, because then it will remain with the sons and it will stay inside the Shevet. But if otherwise the individual only had daughters, and now you want to lock out a granddaughter, that doesn't make sense because you haven't benefited it in any way. Because that's one. I mean, that we also have to consider the fact that the individual would prefer that his property stay with his offspring. And therefore, he'd rather he goes to the proper inheritor. Inami, heichadika banot ubata ben. What happens if there are all sisters and a granddaughter? Then tirosh ubata ben, it's called nechasim. In that case, we will give it to the bata ben. Here, a granddaughter through the son, plus the other sisters that are available, then of course the ben had priority, the son had priority. When he passed away, his daughter now, the granddaughter, has priority. So now if you're looking at the difference between handing it to the granddaughter, who comes through the son, versus handing it to the daughters, then first of all, why not give it to the proper inheritor, which would be the granddaughter? Because you have no detriment versus giving it to the sisters or the daughters of this individual's niftar, because it's all the same problem, it's with women. That's number one. And number two, it's even better, because now it's only with one individual versus three individuals. You can insist or try to push that one individual, the granddaughter, will marry within her shevet. But if you're talking about that the granddaughter doesn't inherit, but the other sisters, I mean her aunts, then you have to have three or four daughters if they're encouraged to marry within the shevet. So we prefer it goes all to one, and what would be the ikar halacha. That's the Rashi points out, that this is not a blanket statement that a granddaughter does not inherit. You have to look at the circumstances. The circumstances where they were mafkia, the granddaughter, from inheriting is in situations where it'll prevent nachla from moving. In cases where it doesn't prevent nachla from moving, then the granddaughter should be on equal footing. And we said that's the case where she is inheriting amongst the banot, or in a case where she is inheriting, she is the almost daughter of the only son that was there, who was niftar, then again, she'll take priority over her aunts, because there's no reason to give the aunts over her. Right, so now the Gemara continues. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Kol shu eino meniach ben Yoshua, Kodesh Baruch Hu malei alav evra. So anybody who does not leave a son to inherit him, right, then Hashem is, he leaves over, is full of anger and disdain for this individual. Why? That's the term that we use. Va'avartam enachlato goes to a bat. That means they didn't leave a ben. Chlivatam yom evra hayom ahu. And in Spanish, it's talking about the day when Hashem will come and take retribution and the final days. And it says on that day, yom evra hayom ahu. Evra and avra va'avartam. So that day is the day when Hashem takes retribution. Same thing here for an individual who does not have a son. The obviously it's not easy to explain, I would say, but the idea is that if you leave over a situation, and again I'm not saying that it's within his control, if you leave over a situation when there's no son to inherit and the Nachal will move away from the Shevet, Hashem is upset this individual, and the Gemara's supposition here is that it's caused by the Chet. The Chet of the individual is what caused this to happen. That we were saying that it's out of his control, but the Gemara feels it is within his control, because if he had not done something wrong, then he would have had a son that would have prevented a Havrat Nachala.
The words of Havrat Nachala appear a few times.
No, that says Unotatem, right? It's only once that it appears. Alright, so now, the Gemara continues. Asherein Chalifot Lamo, Velo Yaru Elukim. Right, so these are individuals in Tehillim that do not fear Hashem, and they do not change their ways, and they remain in their evil ways. This references to someone who doesn't leave a child, one of them says, and the other one says it references to someone who does not leave a student. Let us conclude that Rabbi Yochanan Damar Tamid. Rabbi Yochanan, who says the person who doesn't do right or is in the wrong here, someone doesn't leave over a student. Then Rabbi Yochanan then garmei dasira bir. So that Rabbi Yochanan always, this is in the Gemara and Brachot, that Rabbi Yochanan used to go around and show, this is the tooth of my 10th child. I mean that Rabbi Yochanan had 10 sons who all passed away during his lifetime, and he used to walk around with the tooth. Now the Rashbam, and I think Rashi and Brachot also mentions this, that it was going to be Menachem. You go to be Menachem Avel, or the Mari Nefesh, you'd say, you know, misery loves company. Says, this is the tooth of my 10th son, and that you have nothing to be upset about. So let me tell you how bad it could be, so you shouldn't be upset. And the reason he took the tooth is because the Shein Shel Meit is not Tamei. It's not Mikabel Tuma. As long as it's not Mechubar LeMeit, if it's Mechubar LeMeit, it is Mikabel Tuma. But if it's not Mechubar to the Meit, then it's not Mikabel Tuma. And then, why is it obvious to the Gemara then that Rabbi Yochanan believed that it's Tamid? Because a person's not Mechutzaf to advertise his Chataim. If he believed that someone who passes away without a son right, is nikra chote or is lo yare elukim and ina chalifot lamo, if that's really the case, then why would he walk around advertising that he lost his 10 sons and he has no children now? Right, that's not something that you advertise, because that's a person doesn't walk around saying what it's ashrei, right? Nasui pesha v'chisui chata. The proper way to act is to cover up your chataim and not to show them off, at least with ben adam le makom. So again, here you see that sentiment that a person who fails to be mamid a tamid or a ben, Gemara here feels it's the result of chait, result of some sort of sin. So now, umed Rabbi Yochanan mar tamid. Rabbi Yochanan believes the one who leaves this world, that a tamid is the one who is choteh. The Rabbi Shimon Levi amar ben. There must be. The Rabbi Shimon Levi says that it is a child. Now the dichtiv. Because Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi lo azel le beit tamia le deman the bei man de shachiv lo boni. Well, we know about Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi that he didn't go to a beit avel except for someone who passed away without children. That was the only time he went to be menachem avel, because he first of all didn't want to be mitbatel milumudo. He didn't want to stop learning. But in those instances where someone passed away without a child, he felt there was such an agmas nefesh that it was important for him to go and be menachem avel in that situation. So again, to only go to an avelus of someone who passes away without children, he doesn't view that as something negative or something who is over avera. Dichtiv, because it says bechu leolich. I don't know when the Torah it's with the vav in the Yirmiyahu, but it's a bechu bechu leolich. Right, to cry for the one who is going. And what does that mean, the one who's going? That's the one who goes without a male child, or below banim, the other possibility, but it goes without children. So Ela Rabbi Shuben Levi Hu Damar Tamid. Must be the Rabbi Shuben Levi says Tamid. Rabbi Shuben Levi Hu Damar Tamid, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ben. Then you have a problem that Rabbi Yochanan says Ben. So the Gemara says, "Kashid Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Yochanan, you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's walking around with the tooth of his tenth son, and he's also saying that someone who passes away without a son is a over avera. So lo kasha adi day hadi rabbi. Depends who he's quoting. Of course, according to his own shita, he holds like Rabbi Shimon Levi that it's an issue of talmid, of a talmid, not an issue of a ben, and therefore he walked around the tooth of his tenth son without any problem. And hadi rabbi." The sheet that he quotes that argues on Rabbi Shimon Levi and says that one who passed away without banim is the sheet of his Rebbe, and not that he did not hold of that sheet. Obviously, if he had personal right experience, so that didn't allow him to hold of that sheet as well. So in the end, I think the Gemara, just as a broader statement about the Gemara, but here the Gemara equates Talmid and Ben, that a person has to leave over in this world. I mean that a person has to leave over someone who can carry on or passes on the traditions and the limud and the mesorah of this individual. And so that's relegated to, there are two possibilities of a person leaving over such a individual as a talmid, right, and a son. So therefore the Gemara views it as being an imperative to have either a talmid or a son, in order to not to be classified as an Ovei Vera. Maybe today, even a daughter would be viewed in that manner. I mean, at the time of the Gemara, a daughter wasn't viewed as a Shoshelet HaMesorah in terms of passing on this type of information. Today, where the women are much more involved and understand and have the ability to pass on such a Mesorah, maybe it would be true of a daughter as well. I would say that's a possibility. All right. And the Gemara continues. Darash Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama. Now we're going to have a series of drashot. Aidei Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama. May dichtiv v'adad shema b'mitzrayim kishachav daviv avutav. So Hadad, who had ran away down to Mitzrayim after he was in Edom, and when Yoav went there and they killed out of Edom, Hadad took flight, went down to Mitzrayim and hangs out with Paro in Mitzrayim. And Paro gives him a nice setup there, gives him a house, and gives him a sister to marry, and he marries into the Mitzrayim. So then Hadad shama b'Mitzrayim kishachab David. He hears that David passed away, im avutav, v'chim meitu av sar tzavah, and Yoav died. So then once he hears the two people that were after him, David and Yoav, then he felt good, he felt he could return home. When it describes the death of David, it says, Kishachav David. By Yoav, it says that he died. David, Sheniach ben, Nemra bo Shechiva. David left over a son. By him, it says Shechiva, because Shechav, man, he went to rest in peace. Yoav, Sheloi Neach ben, Yoav didn't leave over a son. Nemra bo Mita. Therefore, it says Mita, because he didn't have a restful death. So Mar says, well, Yoav, Loi Neach ben. Is that really true that Yoav never left over to a son? Aktiv. It says in Ezra, Mibnei Yoav, Ovadia, ben Yechia. So we have in the people that, we're talking about Ezra, by the Levi'im, or the people being enumerated by Ezra, it says Yoav, the sons of Yoav, Ovadia ben Yechia, I mean that he had some sort of son. Right, so probably over there, Mibnei Yoav, really means, Pasha Pshad, it's that the descendants of Yoav. Right, so it could be a grandson or a grandchild. The Gemara's underlying assumption is that it's all through the male line. I mean that obviously he could have had daughters, and then he could still be, I mean, Bnei Yoav, right, of the children of Yoav. So here the Gemara's assumption is that Bnei Yoav means the actual, through the male, there was a male lineage that brought him to Avadji ben Yechia. Ella David, Shiniach ben Kemoto. David, who left over a son similar to him, Nemar bo Shechiva. Yoav, Shloiach ben Kemoto, Nemar bo Mita. So David left over a son that was of his caliber. There it says, right, Shechiva, that he rested in peace. Yoav Shloiniach ben Kamoto. He didn't leave someone that could be Mamalei Mekomo, that could fill his shoes, or is on par with him. There it says Nemrabo Mita. So now that would make, again, extending what I was explaining before, that the Gemara is not it's not the issue of Ben and Talmid here, are simply that someone who can carry on. The individual means someone who can be Mamalei Mekomo, and that's what the Gemara is after over here. And that you see by the description here between David and Yoav. That even when they had a ben, the ben has to be of a certain caliber and a certain type. It's not simply having the ben also has to be Mimalei Mekom Aviv. Darash Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama, at this point in time, it's not going to relate to our Gemara, just that it's more drashot by Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama. Kasher Aniyut Ptoch Vaitosh Adam Yoter Mechamishim Makot. That the poverty in one's house is worse than 50 Makot, like Makot Mizraim Shinemar. Chanuni, Chanuni. Right, have mercy on me, Atem Rei, my friends, Ki Yad Elokan Nagabi, that the hand of Hashem has touched me. And so this is Eov saying about what Hashem has done to him. You know, have mercy on me. Can you believe what Hashem has done to me at this point? V'kamalei Chavrei, and his friends respond to him, Hishamer, be careful, Al Tefein Elavin, don't turn to wrongdoing, Ki Azeh Bechartem Me'oni, because you chose this, you would choose over submission. That's really what the word means. Submission means giving in to Hashem. They're better to choose, right, submission to what Hashem has done to you than to do wrong. But over here, the Gemara is dashing me only to mean, only meaning literally poverty. Better to accept what Hashem has done to you than to go to the root of poverty. Why? Because it says by the first pasuk, the Reyuv, Atem Raya Ki Yad Eluka, the hand of God has been upon me. So we know by the Makot Mitzrayim, it says Ki Etzba Elukim Hi. Right, so that's a finger, and there it refers to Makot. There were 10 Makot. So over here we have Yad. Yad is made up of 5 Etzbaot. So that means 50 Makot. That's what the drusha is. So there it says better 50 Makot. Right, and right. It's like the Haggadah Pesach exactly. So here it says better to have 50 makot than to be left in poverty. And this, Tosfos mentions it here, and the Rishvam, that the Eov never mentions that he lost all of his wealth. That it says that he lost his animals, and that he lost his possessions, but it never says he lost his land and his gold and silver. I mean, that he still had some of his wealth left. And so that's, everything that happened to Eov is better than him losing that residual wealth that he had. So they said to him, you know, be happy with what you have. It could be much worse if you were stricken with poverty. The Rosh Rabbi Pinchas Bar Chama, Kol sheyesh lo chule b'toch beito, if anybody who has a sick person in his house, yelech etzel chacham, yivakesh alav rachamim. You should go to a chacham, you should go to someone who is close to Hashem, and ask them to daven on behalf of the chule, shenemar, chamat melech, right, the anger of the king, malachim ovet, is equivalent to the angels of death. V'ish chacham, someone is smart, yichaper, right, is yichaperena. Go and be michaper. So what does it mean, yichaperena? It means that you'll go to a individual who can help him be michaper. Over here, michamer means, like in as Rashi says, by the utensils that were used in the Mikdash. Why were they called kaparot? They're called kaparot because all kapara is something that's the kanech, to wipe off, to remove. So it's over here, when they use the kaparot, the utensils in the Mikdash, when the Kohen used to wipe his finger to wipe off the blood on the edge of the kapara, on the edge of that utensil. So that's why it was called a kapara. So over here, yichapreno means the kaneach, means to beseech, right, the fayes, means to go ahead and appease. And so that you should find someone who can go before Hashem and be mechaper, meaning he can appease and beseech on your behalf before Hashem. Okay, zeaklau. So back to our Mishnah, which is the last line in the Mishnah. Kol hakodem benachla yotzei yirachel kodmim. Whoever is priority in the nachla, his descendants also get priority. Va'av kodem lechol yotzei yirachel. The father is before any of his yotzei yirachel, any of his descendants. By Rami Barchama. Now this question is going to be, the answer is going to be obvious to the question, but it really is going to lead into another question of Rami Barchama. Avi'av, if you're talking about the grandfather, right, ve'acheav, and the uncles, right, what's the din? Kegon, Abraham ve'Ishmael b'nechsei Esav. Then about Abraham and Ishmael and the possessions of Esav, they use Esav here as example because Esav's dying. So we'd rather have Esav die than Yaakov die. So we have here Esav, who passed away. Now you have a choice. Say that Yitzchak is not around. Then who gets priority in his possessions? Does Abraham, the grandfather, get possession of the get priority, or is it Yishmael, right, the uncle, that gets priority? Ezimehem kodem, which one goes first? So Amar Rava, what's the question? Tashma, Av kodem lechol yotzei yirachel. The father always goes before his descendants. So in that case, the Abraham will be the priority over here. What's the question? The question is really that Yitzchak is the true inheritor over here. If Yitzchak's the inheritor, then Abraham and Ishmael are both derivatives of Yitzchak. Right? Yitzchak is passing, he's the one who has possession, even though he's not alive, he's the one who's passing the Yerusha. So you're looking at a father versus a brother, right? Who gets priority? And again, the answer there is obvious that the father gets priority over the brother, and therefore Abraham will get priority over Yishmael. So that's not a question. So Rabbi Barchama, so why did Rabbi Barchama ask such a question? It's probably obvious, it's from our Mishnah. So it says, Agav Chorfei, because he was so sharp, he was so, the Rashbam claims here that he was so involved in the next question, Loim, but he wasn't thinking so carefully about it, because the next question is a significant question and does have implications, which is Vayi Rami Barchama, Avia Av Ve'achav. The grandfather versus the brothers, then what's the din? So we know already that it's the father versus the brothers, father gets priority. But now what about a grandfather before the brothers? Who gets priority over here? Kagon, Avram Ve'achav Ve'nechse Esav. Again, over here, we're not talking about Ishmael, but we're talking about Yaakov. Abraham, the grandfather, does he get priority before Yaakov, the brother of Esav? Ezemen kodem, which one goes first? So Amarava, Tashma, I'll say to you, Av kodem lechol yotzei yirachel. The father always goes before any of his descendants. So if that's the case, or the suggestion over here is that Banim, right, is Bnei Banim Hariyam Kibanim. And therefore, Abraham is no different than Yitzchak. I mean, that not that Yitzchak inherits from Esav, and then through that inheritance, he passes it up to Abraham. And therefore, Yotzei Yirachel, meaning that the Yaakov should go before Abraham, but rather, Bnei Banim Hariyam Kibanim, which means that Abraham basically inherits Esav because he's like a father to him. He's like the first derivative of Esav, and therefore he'll pick priority over Yaakov, the brother, in this instance. So also, in these situations, if that really is the case, and the same thing with the question of Rami Barchama before, does the grandfather take precedence over the uncles, then you'll come up with a situation that if you believe that's true, that ain ben yereshet aviv, right? In these situations, you're never going to have a son. You're going to have a situation where everybody's always passing him to the nechassim. If the father's always considered the closest relative, or again, or you'll never have brothers that inherit because the grandfather always takes precedence. But you're going to come in situations where it'll be impossible for certain individuals to inherit because the priority of the shoshelet upwards right, will take out certain individuals from the possibility of inheriting over here. So now, if that's the case, so Amar Rava, Rava says, Tashma Avkod Mechoyutze Richo, that's the case. Now, for Rami Bachama, this is where Rabbi Chama, you know, stands his ground and says, no, wait a minute. Yotze Richo Shalom, below Yotze Richo Shalom, but no. Maybe when we say Yotze Richo means literally his Yotze Yerech, and not Yotze Yerech Bino. Meaning that here in the case of Abraham and Yitzchak, Yaakov is Yotze Yerech Bino. I mean, that's the descendant of his son. And Rabbi Chama is positing the possible position here, that if Yitzchak, right, was to die after Esav. So in this case, I mean, that the situation that we've set up so far is where Yitzchak's non-existent over here. Yitzchak doesn't exist. And our question is, does Avram get priority or does Yaakov get priority? But what would happen if Yitzchak was still alive? If Yitzchak was still alive and Esav passes away, who gets, and Esav has no children, who would get priority? Yitzchak would get it. The father comes, right, after the sons and daughters. That's the first one to inherit. Yitzchak would inherit it. Now Yitzchak's holding the property. If Yitzchak was now to pass away after Esav predeceased him, what would happen to that property? Where would he go? It would go to Yaakov. Because it's that the sons are the first to inherit it. So that's basically Rami Bar Chama's point. Listen, it's one thing to say that the father takes priority over the uncles because the uncles are only getting their access through the father. On the other hand, to say that the father will have, the priority here, or the grandfather will have priority over the brothers, that's not so clear. Because even though, quote unquote, they all get their nachla through the father, meaning that Yitzchak, right? But when you look at Yitzchak, his children should take priority over his father. And that would be, if he was alive, his children would take priority over the father. So if he's dead, the same thing should be true. That his children take priority over the father. And in that case, Yaakov should take priority over Abraham.
But you think the statement about coming to literally, so Abraham should have a priority over Yitzchak, even for Yitzchak's son.
Right, I hear what you're saying. Right, that's what Tosfos mentions that, and he says that's an impossible explanation, because if you do that, then you basically have, which is what Rami Bracham is suggesting, that a ben will never inherit, a son will never be able to inherit. What you're suggesting is that they will all take priority in Yerusha all the way up. It'll be the father first, then if there's no father, then it's the grandfather, meaning that the Yerusha will pass upwards instead of downwards, which is doesn't make any sense. There's any svara lasot kain. So that's what Tosfos says, it can't be. You can't take this to its logical conclusion and say always the priority goes to the first statement literally, which is that Av kodem l'chol yitzei yirecho. Your father goes before any of his children, it would include his grandchildren. I mean, that it would include anybody, that the father gets priority over anybody that is a descendant of him. So if that's the case, he would precede the son. You would not have a ben yoresh. I mean, you're making an assumption that the ben should go first, then the father, and then only once you introduce the father, then you'd move upwards. But that's not the case. The case is, if you give priority to the Av before Kol Yotzei Recho, his grandson is also Yotzei Recho, and he should get priority over his Yotzei Recho. It's the last Tosus on the Amud Aleph. He asks the question, he says that you can't say this, otherwise a ben will never inherit. Right, so now, where it says, Ochanami Mistavro, what Rami Bar Chama says makes sense, is logical. Tuktani, Zeakla, Kol Kodim Minachla, Yotzei Yerecho Kodmin. That it says, whoever is prioritized or gets priority in the Nachla, his descendants go first. Ve'ilu Itali Yitzchak, right, Yitzchak Kodim. Right, if Yitzchak is around, then Yitzchak would go first. Hashanami, the letter of Yitzchak, right? If here, when the Yitzchak doesn't exist, Yaakov called them, then Yaakov, his descendant, should take priority. I mean, the other part of the Mishnah, the statement right before this in the Mishnah, it says that any descendant takes priority in terms of inheritance. So if Yitzchak is the first to inherit, then his son should be his derivative. If it's his derivative, he should also take priority. So the statement before in the Mishnah says, Yaakov priority over Abraham. So the conclusion here, this is what we'll do right now, which is the Rashbam lays out here, says, this is from our perek, this is the Seder Nachla that we'll lay out for you. So here's the Seder Nachla, here's the chart of all the of the family that's laid out here. And they start with Reuven. That's what he starts. He said the Reuven who is the individual who's going to pass away. So Reuven has children, which are Chanoch, Paluch, Hetzron, and Karmi. So those children, those sons, have priority. I mean, they're the ones who have priority in terms of inheritance. And Kol Yitzei Yerecham, any descendant of theirs takes priority over anyone else. So they'll be the first. The first of Nachla will be Chanoch, Paluch, Hetzron, and Karmi. And if they're not around, then any of their children will come around. based on this, if you have Reuben's children, Chanoch, Palu, Chatzron, Karmi, they take priority. All of their descendants could take priority. For instance, Palu has a son Eliav, and then he has grandchildren, Datan, Nimuel, and they have children. All of those go before anyone else. They have top priority. If Reuben had no sons, and only had Banot, and he had daughters, they would be the ones to inherit. They'd be the next in line, meaning if he had no sons, then his, or he had sons, and all they and all their descendants were not around, then Benot Ruvain would get priority. And then all the descendants of Benot Ruvain would get priority. Now, if there is no children, either Ruvain has no children, never had children, or all his children passed away, or all those descendants passed away, so there's nobody else, then who's next in line? Ruvain moves up to Yaakov. Yaakov will be the next one in line to inherit Ruvain. If Yaakov doesn't exist, right, meaning that there's no Yaakov there, then the next to inherit will be the brothers of Reuven, which are Shimon, Levi, Yosef, Binyamin. All of them would be entitled to inherit. Now again, if, and also Yotzei Yerecham, meaning that all of their descendants would take priority over here. If there is no Shimon and Levi, or Shimon and Levi passed away with no descendants left, then the next priority will go to Dina, right? Dina, who's Reuven's sister. I mean, that the sister has priority if there are no brothers. And again, the male will go before the females in all these situations. So the brothers of Reuven will take priorities over the sister of Reuven. But if there are no brothers, then after Yaakov, right, then if there are no brothers, then you go to the sister, which would be Dinah. And again, Kol Yetzei Yerecha. If none of those exist.
Just to clarify, let's say Reuven had only daughters, or only daughters that had surviving offspring. Right, one of them had a son, there was a grandson and a granddaughter from two different. They were both inherit equally.
Correct.
Right, but let's say only one of the daughters had children and had a daughter and a son. Right. Only the son would.
The grandson would inherit. Correct.
Right, so the rules. Whoever you're filling in for.
Right. You have to be a derivative power, right? Grandson. You have derivative power, right?
You
have the same power of whoever you're inheriting from. Correct. Now, if Yaakov doesn't exist, right, and all Kol Yetzei Recham, there's nobody below that, then the Yerusha will pass up to Yitzchak, the grandfather. So now Yitzchak, the grandfather, inherits. If again Yitzchak and all of his it doesn't exist, then it will pass to his son Esav. Right, it'll pass to his son Esav, and Esav's descendants, whether it's Eliphaz, Reuel, or his daughters of Esav, they will all get priority now at this point in time. Again, now, if there's no Yitzchak and no Esav, then the next in line to inherit will be Abraham. And then Abraham will get that priority. If Abraham does not exist, right, then it will go to Ishmael, who is Yitzchak's brother. And because, again, you'd say the Aviv always goes before you'd say Yerecho, so Abraham gets priority being the great-grandfather before the great-uncle, Ishmael. And then Ishmael's children, right, his daughters or his sons, will also take priority over anyone else. Again, if none of those exist, then you would pass it up to Terach, who would be the great-great-grandfather. And if Terach doesn't exist, then it would go to Haran and Nachor, who would be the great-great-uncles of Reuven. So based on that, we have a general layout. The Rashbam goes through all of this. It shows that that's basically the layout or what the Perek has shown us until this point in time. The only thing that's not mentioned over here that we learned in the Perek has to do with the Baal, that a husband inherits Ishto, Baal Yoresh Ishto, and if there is no husband that's there, then Bina, her son, inherits her. And if there is no son, then Bita Yerushata, then her daughter inherits her. That's because we don't hold like Rabbi Zachari ben Akiv, that we don't hold like him because he says that daughters and sons have equal priority with mothers. We don't hold like that. We hold that the son gets priority. So therefore, the only thing that's not missing from here is that the husband inherits. If Reuven's wife had passed away, Reuven would take precedence in terms of inheriting her. If Reuven didn't exist, then the sons, meaning that Chetzron, Palu, Chetzron, and Karmi and Chanoch would take priority in terms of inheriting. They would inherit their mother before the Benot Reuven. And if there was no sons, then Benot Reuven would inherit their mother. Okay, so we'll stop over here, and then we'll continue with the Mishnah tomorrow, which basically leads into a new sugya.